Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, I'm taking that 3 day for you, man. I love to come on here just because of the dialogue we have back and forth and the way you guys, Bible says that iron sharpens iron. And I'd be really remiss, be lying to you if I told you that I didn't enjoy this time together. For those of you who are just kind of becoming, just beginning to join this show, I don't, for the life of me, I don't know why we don't have tens of thousands of people listen. I'm just telling you the truth. I get on YouTube sometimes and scroll around to different guys. There's a lot of good stuff, a lot of good alternative media guys, a lot of really, really good stuff. And some of these guys got 120,000 views on a video they just made the day before. Thinking, man, how's that happening? Because I think we got some valuable stuff here that I'd like to see expand and grow. I don't care about the fame and fortune of it. In fact, fame and fortune of it, I've got a couple. Well, I'm careful. I don't want the enemy to know that I even know. And the enemy's relentless, friends. It's relentless. And the good thing is the lines are being more clearly delineated than any time. I'm 68. I didn't care about anything but football until I was about 48, 45 maybe. But since about the age of 45, I first swallowed that red pill, and my life changes every day as, listen, the Bible tells us you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, will make you free. And I get more and more free every day. I don't know if I'm more joyful. I don't know if that'd be the proper word to say. I don't know if I'm more empowered. I don't know. I know. I just know this. I'm beginning more and more to see the truth. And the more I see the truth, the greater it is. The greater it is. And it doesn't take you very long. Whoever you are, you come in conversation with somebody, you know whether they get it or not. Raise your hand and say, yep, I know what you're talking about, Coach. About 28-second conversation, I know whether they get it or not. And sadly, I know some really, 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 really deep, loving, concerned Christians who ain't got no clue. They don't have any clue. So I think, how's that happen, Lord? How's that happen? They don't have any clue. And then yesterday, I'm going to confess, Michelle and I didn't go to Sunday morning service yesterday. Was that yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday. And so I got on my internet, and I just scrolled down through Facebook and watched a few sermons. I had to tell you, it's like they don't even... They live in a parallel world. These sermons I'm not talking about big name guys. I'm just talking about little churches that stream online. You know, I bet I watched parts of 20 of them yesterday. And they're talking about nothing that has anything to do with what's going on around us. Somebody raise your hand again and say, I know what you're talking about, Coach. Please don't let me feel like I'm the only one out here. It's unbelievable.
Amen.
Christians not knowing what's going on. And leaders of Christians not knowing what's going on. And all this stuff that's going on around us and their only solution, they don't even talk about it. But I've never seen, I'm going to be honest with you. This will sound really, what would this? I'm not anxious for the return of Jesus. Is anybody else, am I the only guy that says that? I don't get up every day and pray for Jesus' return. I get up every day and say, Lord, give me another day. Give us another day, Lord. Please don't come today, Lord. Please, not today. And I think it's going to be glorious, I think. whatever happens when the Lord returns, I think it's going to be glorious. And probably when it happens, I'll say, man, we should have done this sooner, Lord. But right now, I'm honest with you, that's not the way I feel. I say, Lord, please don't come yet. Please don't come yet. Lord, there's so much to be done, so much we can do, so much of a difference we can make. Please, Lord, please don't come yet. Please, Lord, reform your church. Please, Lord, awaken your saints. Please, Lord, awaken the remnant. Please, Lord, bring out the ecclesia. Please, Lord, raise them up. Please, Lord, give us victory over our enemies. Anybody else feel like that but me? That's where my heart is. And I watch those. They're so heavenly conscious, they're no earthly good. They're not good to anything except they preach. See, they talk about heaven, but they preach earthly things. Somebody raise your hand and say amen. Know what you're talking about, Coach. They like to preach like they're heavenly, but they're heavenly because they want to be happy here. They're heavenly minded, but they want to be heavenly minded because they want to be happy here. They don't have to engage here, see? They always fall back on that line. Well, the Lord's in control. Well, he said this, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. In other words, all power is given to him. He said, let's go. Go. And if you think the Lord sits in heaven and is pleased at Christians who are permitting abortion to continue, be like a dad coming home. My father's been dead for about, 15, 20, a long time. Things and church isn't even anyways near it. I want to give glory to the Lord. My brother, we have beautiful sky. It snowed 8 inches. We had eight inches of snow. It's beautiful. Christmas Eve, unbelievable. Beautiful snow. And you know, our kids live up the top of the hill. And our son-in-law got out his gator. He's got a gator. And he put a rope behind it. Put an inner tube on. It's dragging the kids around. They're having a ball up and down the hills. Michelle even got on it. I thought about getting on. I thought, no, I'm 68. I go flying off that thing, that probably wouldn't be a very good idea. I still think I'm 12 inside, though. You know how that is, right? Well, yesterday afternoon, Reese, our oldest granddaughter, she was on. They were Morgan taking them over to Sky High, and he was driving. He said, "I don't know, flying probably." It's really slick. And I don't know if you guys have ever water skied, but Reese is on the back of the inner tube being pulled by the gator. And you ever get outside the wake when you're skiing? You guys know what I'm talking about? You get outside the wake, and you're going actually faster than the boat. And Reese got out there faster than the boat. She and her friend, and they ran into a tree. Tree that had fallen.
Oh, wow.
And it ran into a tree and launched him. I wasn't there, of course, launched both of those kids. And nobody was seriously hurt. They took Reese last night to the hospital for some observation, maybe a concussion, whatever. She's okay. But Michelle and I were both laying in bed last night. It must have been about 9:30 or 10 o'clock. It hit us both at the same time. I just want to thank God today. We could be preparing for a death today. We could be preparing for a funeral. That quickly. Just that quickly. And they were having fun, and they hit that tree, and poof, off flying they went. Could have broke her neck, could have flown into another tree, could have, who knows what could have happened, right in the midst of having fun. And Michelle and I were there in bed and praying that she was at the hospital. She was okay. She was at the hospital getting checked over. And we're praying, oh, Lord, heal her, touch her, heal her, heal her. And all of a sudden, it's like somebody punched me in the face. I said, Callie, heal her? Don't you realize what I just did for her? Don't you realize that hedge protection that's around her that protected her when she was going 25 or 30 miles an hour and hit that tree and launched into the air?
Amen. Huh? Amen.
So Michelle and I just want to thank God today that we see his hand in our lives, his hand of protection in our lives, and we appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Praise God. Praise God, Coach.
Yes, sir. That we're not planning a funeral or a broken neck or any of the miraculous things that could have happened. So thank God. Thank God for all that. So I'm just doing a little venting after you guys wouldn't talk to me here for 3 days. Got a lot of stuff built up inside of me. Let me mention a couple things, and I'm just going to try to – I got a lot of stuff to share with you. Uh-oh. There we go. Listen, if you're going to go to D.C. with us, our numbers are really growing, by the way. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry that it's a Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm sorry. I wish it wasn't. So I know that's difficult for some people to get off work. I understand that. But our numbers are growing. We got some guys who are bringing vans and stuff like that from other areas. I'm going to ask you, excuse me, two things today. Let me make a couple suggestions. If you're thinking about, like I spoke to Ray LeBlanc last night. Ray's bringing, he's got a van load. I said, Ray, you got to check something before you rent a van. Sometimes those vans have limited miles. Vans do. Not always. Cars hardly ever do. Cars always have unlimited miles. I said, you may want to check that. And rather than getting a van, get two cars. Two cars may end up being much, much cheaper than a van. Three cars, whatever it would be. So just let me give you a heads up on that. You just go online, Hotwire, whatever it is, and check. And before you get in a van and realize the van's going to cost you a couple $100, and then you're going to have to pay extra for every mile you go over, that's the way vans are. So be careful on that. And maybe get two cars. Do a little parade of cars if you want to do that. And those of you who are coming and want to meet here in Ohio, I need to know that. We need to make arrangements here. I need to figure out what kind of vehicles we need, yada, 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 and all that stuff. So just get on top of that because we're not that far away from it. And some of you who can't go, if you could, how about scholarshiping somebody else? We're asking everybody to kick in $65 to do it, and that covers the vans and the hotels and all that kind of stuff. And say, I can't go, but Coach, here's $50. This is for somebody else. I'd love to go, but I can't go. And that would really, really help us. I don't know. Anybody feel like me? I get up every morning and I say, Lord, is today the day? Is today the day that the bomb drops? Is this the day that the information is released? Or Lord, are they just running out the clock on us? Are they just running out the clock? What's going on here, Lord? I'm going to tell you, I don't really know. I really don't know. But I believe if something's going to happen, it's going to happen soon. And I think if something happens here soon, we're going to feel the effects of it pretty powerfully, I think. But I also pull back for a minute and say, listen, if if Donald Trump's going to arrest everybody and do everything that they say they're going to do, is he really going to bring 2 million people to Washington, D.C. on January 6th? That doesn't make much sense. Is that a diversion? I don't know. I don't know. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. A lot going on. A lot of good stuff to show you. Just want to open it up here for a minute and let some of you jump in here. Now, I got to say this because I forgot to do it the other day. Hey, Mike, go to Webster's real quickly. Mike's got a new trainee in the war room here today. And I want you to look up the word, because here's what I sense is going on. Confluence. C-O-N-F. Well, look at this guy. He can spell. Good. Confluence. He's homeschooled. He was homeschooled. What is confluence? This is what I think's happening, folks, right in front of us. It's a confluence. And Webster says a flowing together. The meeting or junction of two or more streams of water or other fluid. Also, the place of meeting. As a confluence of the Tigris and the Frat, or the Ohio and the Mississippi. Confluence is the running together of people. The act of meeting and crowding in a place, a crowd, a concourse. The latter word is more generally used. 3, a collection, a meeting, an assemblage. We have right now, I believe, a confluence of events that are coming together that we don't really understand. And I don't know, like when every time we go to Washington, D.C., it is a confluence. It is a flowing together. Some people come from Virginia, and some people come from Nevada, and some people come from Oklahoma, and some people come from Wisconsin, and some people come from Ohio. And they're all, it's a confluence. And the greatest frustration is not everybody gets there at the same time. We want them all to be there. We say, be there at 4:00. They don't all make it at 4:00. And that's what I see is going on right now. There's a confluence. There's a flowing together of a lot of valuable parts that just have not come together yet. And I would say, be honest, let's be honest. The church certainly isn't ready for what's coming. Church is not ready for it, friends. It isn't ready. Now, the individual Christians, many of them are waking up, but the church is no more prepped and prepared for what I think is coming. So we're experiencing a confluence. Keep that in mind as you say, what's going on here? And why isn't this happening? And why hasn't that happened? What? Well, it's a confluence. These rivers are flowing slowly, but they'll all get together and they'll all get where they're supposed to be at the right time, the right place in the Lord's timing. Amen. Well, I've been meaning to talk about that for a couple of days in heaven. Let me open it up for a little bit here. Let me see any hand waves up here. Let's get up here. Randy, come on in. Your hand's up. And then Silver and then Luann. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, I think you're right on the track. You hit the nail on the head with confluence. I believe this, Coach. I think God is raising up a church. Now, a lot of these people don't even know it. They're going. They're looking. They're hungry. They're not just there for Donald Trump. They're not just there for freedom. They're there because they're searching. They're empty. They want to be part of something bigger. I think God's bringing the church together, Coach. I think there's going to be so many things come out of this, from just connections, fellowship, just all kinds of things. And, hey, we've got to get out of our heads, Coach, what the church, the old church looked like. This, God's doing something new.
Boy, he is.
He is. It's in our nation. And he's using this crisis to do it, look, Coach.
And Donald Trump's just a pressure point, folks. That's all he is. He's just a pressure point, in my opinion. He has been the vehicle that has applied the pressure to make all this happen. That's why I think we need to continue to stay in support of him. That's what's going on. Come on in, Silver.
Morning, Coach. I was going to say, yesterday, my grandson, my oldest grandson, he's here visiting from out of state with his wife and brand new great granddaughter.
Had a baby. Yeah.
And we were having a traditional cigar and bourbon on the porch. And we were talking and about the Lord and things like that. And he asked me this question. He says, is hell really a reason for salvation? And I said, hell is the reason for salvation. So I gave him an apt description of somebody I had read that had had a vision of hell, you know, where they're basically standing along millions and billions of other people looking up in flames in darkness, looking at darkness. I said, and their skin all burns off, and then it comes back and continues again and again and again for eternity. Is that what you want? I said, hell is the reason to come to Christ.
Amen. Don't preach that much anymore, do we, Joe?
Not at all.
That's not
awesome weekend, though.
Good, brother. Good. Great, great, great job. My goodness. Come on in there, Luann. Then Glenn. Luann, did you want to come in?
All right, I'm here. Yeah, I keep trying to get in.
Well, you're in.
But I need some more parts on my car first. Yeah, but the things that are going on, I just think the companies help. You know, from what I've been hearing, I think that's why he's asking us up there.
Amen. Well, I do too. And listen.
I've heard him ask for us to come.
Excuse me. Hey, folks, yeah. Listen. Don't get caught up in the daily play-by-play of what's going on. Don't do that. don't do that.
Right, no.
Imagine you're watching a football game. Like, I watched the Browns get beat yesterday by the Jets. And, you know, even sometime during that whole game, I thought, well, they'll quit playing crappy. They'll make a play here. That's the way I always look at it. And so no matter where you are, if the other team just scored, don't get up and down. Don't lose your faith. Just keep pressing forward. I think we have to – man, it's hard to do. We got to do that. Come on in, Glenn.
Yeah, just
Hey, Glenn, how do you like these snowy winters here in Ohio, bud?
You know what? I got my wish, Coach. I haven't seen snow in 6 years. You know, since we moved from upstate New York and to Texas, and I said to Corinne, I said, you know, I'm praying that we'll have a white Christmas. Boy, we were out walking around Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Ringing a bell.
How about that? Welcome back. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Well, you know, the ecclesia, the people that are waking up, you know, the amazing thing is it's organic. It's not led by pastors. It's the average, it's the ordinary Christian that's waking up.
The pastors, Glenn, the pastors are actually late to the game. They're behind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just amazing. You know, we were invited to join a small group, Coach, so we went on a Zoom, and they don't talk about anything. They talk about nothing. It's just like, how are you doing? You know, how's your kids? There's nothing. No, you know, and we looked at each other, and it's like we felt we were in a different world.
Because you are, bud. Well, welcome to Ohio. Michelle and I are going to take you and Corinne out to eat here one of these nights. We were just talking about it yesterday, so don't lose faith there, Glenn.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Larry.
You know, I see the situation with the election and everything very much like it is with God and the word faith and the actions required with prayer and stuff. You know, it would be great if we could just sit back and depend on Donald Trump to come up with some kind of a magic bullet that's going to fix everything at the last second. Mm-hmm. Or even if God himself would intervene in human affairs to the point that he fixed everything in the last second, that would be good. But the reality is probably that there are very simple things that we, the people, could do to help the situation move toward a good resolution. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe the Lord gave me one of those simple things to do, and I shared it with Roger a couple of days before Christmas, and I'm hoping that Roger is following up on it because it requires some lawyers to do this simple thing, and I'm not a lawyer. Roger, have you thought any more about it, and have you decided to move forward or not?
That was your cue, Roger, if you're in here this morning. I didn't even check to see if you were. Well, while you – Larry, that's a great intro anyway, Larry. Let me – hey, Mike, pull up make a Pam Popper, 23-minute mark. Larry, I was thinking of you – really was this morning, you and JR especially. because you guys are entrepreneurial in your approach to trying to rescue America. And I came across this lady. That's a terrible word to say, term. Pam Popper. She's here in Ohio. She has a website, Larry. Write this down because you may be able to connect with her in some way. It's called Make America Free Again is her website. Make America Free Again. And she's doing exactly what you're trying to do and what JR is trying to do. And maybe there can be a connection. But if you can, Mike, I sent you a video. Where is it? Pam? Oh, no, I didn't do it. I didn't do that. Anyway, it's good. I'll get it to you here in a second, Mike, and you can play it. Somebody, I heard somebody try to come in while I send this to Mike, if I can find it. Hang on. Somebody rescue me.
Hey, Coach. Yeah. In the book of Jude, in another subject, 21 through 25, and it says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and at some have compassion, making the difference. Another save with fear and pulling them out of the fire,
right,
hating even the garments spotted by their flesh. Now unto them there is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceedingly joy. To the only wise God, our salvation, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, and the power, but now and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Mike, while you're getting that, I just sent you a video. In fact, I got it from you this morning. Hang on, Jeff. I'm going to comment. I was just thinking about something, what Jeff just said. I don't know what we do about this, but this really, how many of you don't have to raise your hand. How many of you memorize the word? I memorize the word. I do it a lot. Okay, I do it a lot. Now, let me ask you, which version? Because Jeff just read something to me that was good. And what I heard, Jeff, I'm not making fun of you. Please don't take this wrong. It was a different language to me because I don't read that. I don't read that in that whatever. What did you read from, Jeff?
King James Shakespearean version.
Okay, so that's a different version, right? And how do we all memorize if we got different versions? Does anybody know that? Can you help me that? That's pretty tough to do, isn't it? Memorize if we have different versions. Just think about that a second. Hey, yeah, this is Pam Popper. I know where I got this from. I got this from Mike Heath. That's where I got this. Now I'm getting I want you to listen to this because this, she makes a point here. She has started an organization called Make Americans Free Again. And she's going to talk specifically about what Larry was just talking about. And that is, we've got to do, not only do we have to do something, we have to do something together. Pardon me while I'm not looking at you, because I'm pretty sure I said the 23-minute mark. Mike's got it. Okay, go ahead and play this. This is Pam.
Your state, you have great intentions, but how are you going to pay people? I mean, you know, we've already paid our attorney $150,000. How are you going to do that with 300 people, right? So we keep track of it. But there's another thing, too, and you and I exchanged some emails about this. What we're watching here is medical tyranny. And medical tyranny has been going on for years. And I'll give you some examples of what I'm talking about, right? Medical tyranny is when a hospital says to a nurse, you can't work here unless you get a vaccine. It's when a legislature passes a law saying you can't enroll your kids in school unless you get unless your child's vaccinated. Or when somebody says to you, put your five-year-old on Risperdal or we're calling Child Protective Services, right? This is medical tyranny. And it's been building for a long time. And many, many people have tried to do something about this unsuccessfully. And again, this is the thing where we've learned from that, all right? So here we are, biggest medical tyranny episode in the history of the world, that worse than the Nazis, by the way. The Nazis killed 11 million people, took them the whole war to do it in the camps. These people have killed more than that already with the nursing home deaths and all the other terrible things they've done. They're much more prolific than the Nazis ever were. All right, so how are we going to overcome that? Well, let's think, let's fantasize for a minute. Let's say I started Make Americans Free Again in 2016. And then this whole stuff starts that we've been watching, right? Okay, what could we have done? We could have stopped it in a heartbeat, because if I had 2 million people in Ohio in our database, we would have gotten organized. We would have put pressure on the legislature. We could have had our emperor impeached in the summer, because it's an election year, because we could have gone downtown and I would have been happy to be the person to deliver the message and said to some of these people, look, last time you won your election by a couple thousand votes, we have almost 20,000 voters in your district. And if you don't vote to impeach Emperor DeWine, we're going to take you out this November. And I brought the list of our registered voters so you can see that I'm serious. We could have had the impeachment done in a week if we had that kind of thing. So we have to realize, just as we learned from the lawsuits that didn't work, we have to look at declarations didn't work, and petitions don't work, and emails don't work, and educating politicians doesn't work with big packets of information about health and all that kind of stuff. None of that works. You know what works? Education about taking them out. That's the language they understand. And so one of the reasons we want to build this database is so we can start undoing the medical tyranny that exists, these vaccine mandates in places like Oregon and Washington and California, and keep bad things from happening in the future. And unless we're organized with tens of millions of people in our database, we will most certainly end up here again. And I'll just finish with this, because I know I'm talking a lot here. But here's the thing. If we think, I think we're going to win this. I really do.
We do.
We think that Bill Gates and some of these other people are going to say, well, we were almost there. And then Pam Popper and Tom Renz, who'd have thought, right? You think they're just going to go and drink champagne for the rest of their lives on some island? They're going to retreat to their dark corner of the world, and they're going to learn from their mistakes, and they're going to try this again. And the next time, shame on us if we're not organized and ready to confront them. So that's why we have to build a national database of people who have one thing in common. We will not tolerate medical tyranny. That's just where we agree. You can belong to any political party. We can have a lot of different opinions about a whole lot of things, but we agree on that.
Okay, you cut that off, Mike. Larry, put Mike, if you will, put into the chat that makeamericansfreeagain.com. Make Americans Free Again. And JR and Larry, I'd suggest you get in. She's right here in Ohio, by the way. Pam Popper, right here in Ohio. JR, I see you got your hand up there. Go ahead.
Yeah, contact's already been made. Okay, I've been to a couple of her meetings. We've had her at our tea party. She's good stuff. She's good stuff. So, yeah, thank you. And everybody else, not just Ohio, she's carrying it. She's carrying it for us. Doing a real good job.
See, here's the point. Here's the point. I've heard JR make this point. I've heard Larry make this point. It's hard just to get people to go sign a daggone petition, right? You can't even get them to sign a petition, right? So sometimes we've got to be smart enough to help. If she has some momentum going, we have to be smart enough to get behind her and push her as well. If that's where the momentum may not be exactly our baby and what we want it to be, but I think she's got some oomph behind what she's doing. Is this the one, JR, that spoke in Westerville a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and she has meetings at her facilities. And the last time I was there was a group of 50 people, none of them wearing masks, and they're all geared up and ready to go.
We're heading somewhere. Hey, Mike. Pull up Girl Pushes Back. It's on the Facebook page. Once y'all see it, Larry and Glenn and Sylvia, you got your hands up or did you take him down? Larry, go ahead. Did you have something, Larry, or not? It doesn't matter. Your hand was up. I saw it here. Glenn, your hand's still? Okay, good. Their hands are down. Not that good that the hands are down. I want you to see this because this kind of stuff just encourages me, folks. I don't even have any idea who this is, okay? But let's just watch this. Go ahead. Bear with them. They're trying to get it up and going. Still no sound, Mike. I know you're trying. Again, don't forget to go to CoachDaveLive.com. Sign up.
Here we go. The entire hospital is COVID cases. Mm-hmm. This has never happened.
I'm not saying COVID's not real. I'm just saying I'm not sick. Well, I'm not sick, and asymptomatic spread has been shown to be a myth. So why am I going to be treated like a sick person? Do you know that there have been fewer deaths overall in 2019 than there were in 2018? Look it up. Fewer deaths overall. All they've done is recategorize all the deaths. This is not what they're telling us it is. It's a lie. This is a lie, I'm telling you. It's a lie. and everyone's buying it. And it will go on and on and on as long as they feed us this lie and we comply with it. And I am done. Tonight, I reached a breaking point. I'm done. I know I'm not reaching anyone
honey,
here.
Everybody's unhappy.
I don't care. I'm not putting that on my face. I'm not going to. I'm a healthy person. I'm not crazy. This is like psychosis. For everyone to put all this stuff on their face when they're healthy is insanity. It's absolute insanity. Go ahead. They can't arrest me because there's no law. I'm a healthy person. I don't need to wear masks. I would love to see what happens. Honestly, I'm moving tomorrow.
I kicked you out a long time ago, and you're refusing after I'm offering you something.
Epsom salts and corkscrew. But I'm really curious to see how are they going to arrest me for a law that doesn't exist.
Epsom salts and a corkscrew, yes. And you're willing to like risk people's lives.
No, I'm not risking anyone's lives because I'm healthy.
How do we know that you're healthy?
I'm fine. Look at me.
Do you understand that people?
Asymptomatic spread is not a thing. They've already shown there is no asymptomatic spread. There's no asymptomatic spread. I don't have symptoms. I'm fine. I'm not a carrier of disease. This is what I'm saying. They're treating us like we're diseased. You just said, how is it treating you like your disease? But then
wearing
you're telling
a mask
me how do you
is
know?
Not an imposition to be careful with other people's
no,
health.
It's not just the mask.
This
it's
is the
social
epicenter
distancing.
Of
it's
the country.
It's the lockdowns. It's everything. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm done.
You're moving tomorrow, right? So you're going to be.
I hope so. I hope someone in here hears me and feels empowered.
All right, we're gonna have to look, folks. You see the virtue signaling, right? The virtue signaling. She's a bad person. She won't put on a mask. Bad, bad person. Bad, bad person. Science doesn't matter. Bad person. Come on in, Dale.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Waiting for Dale here. I just want to point out that facts do matter somewhat. And that lady that said there's been more deaths and fewer deaths in 2019 than there were in 2020, whatever she said. But see, the thing is, that would require for there to be death statistics available for the year 2019 yet, and they are not. The latest year that we have death statistics other than COVID, they've been keeping track of COVID deaths supposedly, okay? But in total deaths, 2019 figures are not available to look at yet. So there's no way you can make that comparison and be factual.
All right. Go ahead, Dale.
Dale's not coming in.
No, it wasn't Dale. It was Joe Allen. Then come on in, Joe.
This Saturday, my son, we were in Columbia, South Carolina, and we went to Sam's Club. And Sam's Club is not... post, you know how they post people at the doors? They're not doing that there at this Sam's Club. They weren't. But we had the same confrontation inside Sam's Club, not by a worker, by patrons that were in there. And I explained to them, I said, you're being confused by the nature of the sickness.
Amen. Well,
same thing.
People are destroyed for lack of knowledge, right? We know that. We understand all that, okay? Listen, I don't stay on this. We get this subject. It's like beating it with a dead horse. I got to show you this. Hey, Mike, go to, it says bombing. It's like the fourth thing down. I got to show you this, friend.
Hey, Coach, while you're doing that, I just want to say masks are not being an imposition. That's nonsense because that's a slang scale.
It doesn't matter whether it's an imposition or not. I don't have to do it. Folks, this is really critical. I saw this yesterday. This is a copy of a copy. Now, I want you to look on your screen right now. This is Nashville. And I don't want to get into all the Nashville, you know, the Dominion. I don't get into all that stuff, okay? We all know what's going on there. The bombing was certainly suspicious, and they told us it was, of course, this single guy who – it's always the same, right? It's Timothy McVeigh reborn, or it's just always the same guy. It's the Atlanta, a Las Vegas shooter. It must be his brother. Just sells everything, goes and blows everybody up, never to be heard from again, right? That they give us this over and over and over and over and over and over again. Well, they told us what? A truck, that daggone, a camper blew up. Probably Steve Deck did it. His camper blew up when we get this video here, we get a video. See if you can pull that. Just let that stream a little bit, Mike, to where you had it up there for a second. I want all of you to see this because they tell us it was a camper that did it, right? Go ahead and play it.
Watch where the actual flame comes up from. I'm going to show you this. Okay. Guys,
I'm going to freeze. I'll tell you when to freeze it, Mike. Keep going. Okay, right here now. A little bit bigger, Mike. It'll get bigger as it goes. Keep going. I saw this as a stand. Okay, good. I saw this as a standalone video yesterday, and I couldn't find it this morning. Now, as you see on your screen, you have the RV circled in green. See it? The RV sitting there. There's the RV, which is the one, of course, is responsible for the bombing. They put a bomb in that right there. That's in that RV. And then I want you to look at the other thing, the other little stick man. It says source. Look right inside the circle, and you're going to see that this explosion did not emanate from this van. Just go ahead and play this and watch.
Okay, real quick. We're going to show this. So over on the left-hand side, we see the RV. This is the source here circled in green of the explosion. Ready? Watch this video. There's the aftermath video of the explosion, okay? So there's our detailed information, point of view. The explosion came from the source there, not from the RV. Crazy. I mean, call me crazy, but okay. Guys, this.
Did you guys see that? Now, maybe somebody's out there a lot smarter than me. Can somebody tell me what I'm missing, that this is not true? Can anybody help me? Is this a missile? Is this a direct energy weapon? What caused this explosion? I don't care why. I don't care who did it. I don't care if it's voting. I don't care about anything. Why are they telling us? Why do they again have the entire thing wrapped up in 48 hours? Here's the guy. Here's his DNA. Here's the VIN number of the van. Here's the van. There it is. Daggone. Got him. But they can't get Hillary, right? Can't find any evidence on Hillary. Right? She didn't do anything wrong. Can't find any evidence on voter fraud, right? But we know this guy did it. Mike, see if you can go back just a little bit because I want people to see that again. So you answer a question for me. What's going on here?
Okay, real quick, we're going to show this. So over on the left-hand side, we see the RV. This is the source here circled in green of the explosion. Ready? Watch this video. There's the aftermath video of the explosion, okay? So there's our detailed information, point of view. The explosion came from the source there, not from the RV.
Hey, here's the good news. The FBI's on the case. We'll get to the bottom of this one real quick. They're on the case. Come on in, Dale. I see you're up there now.
Yeah, I was up there. It's not a problem. But, Coach, just on that thing right there, what I see in out of all of this natural realm stuff, God is exposing stuff immediately. Things that were hidden and things that were buried, and it took months and it took years, no longer. What the enemy is intended for evil and the tools in which he's using it, this technology, look how God is exposing it just as fast for truth to come out. Now they got to deal with this thing. Now this thing is out there. So here we go. I want to step back, brother, because this is where all of a sudden it then now becomes personal. This is when people are ready to do stuff. You know my sister Annette. She works in a doctor's office in California. She gets a phone call from her boss yesterday, who is a doctor, and tells her, unless you get the vaccine, you cannot come into work. My sister lives paycheck to paycheck. My sister's like, I can't believe this is happening, blah, 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 blah. This conversation goes back and forth. I give her some counsel, and finally he comes back and listen to what he says to her, because he is a Muslim. He says, don't you understand? He says, I have the gift of life. This is what he tells her. He says, I have the gift of life. I said, Annette, right there, this is what's coming. They honestly believe they have this, that they have made themselves out to be God. I said, I believe in the year, and I preached on Isaiah 43 and 44. Brother, God is not proving himself in 2021. God is about to demonstrate his power and his glory, and everything hidden is about to be exposed. And when we now speak, the word 2020 is the proclamation. We speak the proclaimed word of God. 21 is when we speak. It literally is not only the oracle of God, but the Spirit coming forth in power and might and in demonstration of that truth.
As my old buddy Steve Deck would say, 21 is 3 times 7, right? For those of you into the numerology, I don't think any of us, I don't know, man. Something's happening here. Come in, Joseph.
Amen.
Joseph, your hand's up, everybody went in?
Yeah. Whoever's been in the military understands what I'm about to say. And who has dealt with EMPs? This was an EMP attack. It destroys everything in its wake, plus destroys electricity at first. But it was reported that there were gunfires going on about 30 minutes before they announced the evacuation area. So when they announced evacuation area, whoever was doing the gunfire before that could not stop what was about to happen. So that's why the announcement was put out, which you got, everybody's probably seen everything.
So Joseph, not countering it, but what I heard today was that the gunfire was probably played off of that same public address system. Probably was. Yeah. And it was done either to draw in the police so they could kill them or some other nefarious reason. The gunfire was done on purpose to either draw a crowd or scatter a crowd. They don't know which. So again, something's happening here, right? Folks, there's a deep state, man. There's a deep state for sure. Go ahead.
These cities are outfitted with a system that detects gunfire. So they have this going in each one of these major cities. So when a gunfire is shot, they can revert to where that area is at.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So it was probably some type of signal. Come on in, Glenn.
So that explosion knocked out the AT&T communications for a wide area. And in a broadcast, one of Mike Adams' broadcasts, he speculated that may be a beta test for something more nefarious nationwide.
Well, folks, have you noticed that the president has not spoken, hasn't said a word about it? I found that kind of, I don't know what I found it to be, has not said a word about what took place down there. For Truth, come on in.
Yeah, hey, Coach. I got a video from a couple of different angles, and when that weapon went off, I believe it was a direct energy weapon, because when it went off, the camera that one of the angles I was watching at showed x-rays, and I didn't hear any explosion, but there was a static that happened just before the big bang, so to speak. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, I don't think any of us really know what's going on. Although the FBI, they've got it figured out now. There's this one guy who, they got his DNA, actually. The whole that thing blew up. Most of the city block disappeared. But he's got his DNA. They must have found a finger someplace and were able to. They found a finger down to the local Chinese food restaurant, I think. And so that's him. That's it. That's the guy. He's the one who did it. And he probably had the VIN number probably somehow was stuck right into his finger. He was probably holding on to the VIN numbers that happened, and he got the finger and the thumb together down there. They matched it up and they got their guy and don't look here anymore. This is where we are. Go ahead, Tim.
Just a question. If this was an EMP, why weren't the cameras that are recording the information knocked out?
Good question. It's the same thing. Speculate, right? We don't know.
Anybody else, please say.
Coach, when you talked about how they could not find out things about Hillary Clinton, this points to it, what I think Joseph Allen was talking about. I have been, when I was with the sheriff's department, been in the 911 comm center, and they did a test run. Not only can they can detect the gunfire, they can pinpoint it to your front or back door, and they can even pinpoint exactly what the caliber of the round was fired. This technology is insane, and we're trying to sit here and say that we can't figure this stuff out. Those FBI guys, brother, they look like they were pushing donuts down their throat. They don't.
I think there's war within the. I believe there's war within the FBI. I think there's real good guys and bad guys. I think there's a real war that's going on. In fact, Mike, pull up. It says deaf ears. It's about the sixth thing down. Deaf ears. It's funny how we get led into doing. I put this in the queue in my notes today because I didn't know if I was going to do it or not. Started at the 1 minute mark. About the 1 minute mark, you say deaf ears. Well, I want you to watch this video, Mike. You can put it at about the 1.5 speed. Anybody know who this guy is? Well, the answer is no. I don't have any idea who this guy is. Well, I'm going to tell you. This guy that you're looking at right now is legally blind. Legally blind. But he owns a business. And he owns a computer software business. And he owns a computer software business in, Delaware. Yeah. And by the way, this is the guy who Hunter Biden took his laptop to have repaired. This guy right here, legally blind. And he wants to tell us a story. Hang on here. I want you to swallow all this before this video plays. He's going to bring into this video his father, who's a distinguished retired U.S. Army general, I believe, and his uncle, who is a U.S. military retired colonel, maybe. Both of them jumped into this fight to protect this guy's business. They went to, well, you're going to listen to who they went to, right? Has anybody heard anything about this guy other than he was a, what was it? He's just some kind of kook, right? Just yep. Want to know the real story? Well, 1.5 speed, and we're going to listen to the real story here of what took place. This is unbelievable, right? Yet they got that guy's DNA. They found it at the scene of the crime. Do you believe that? Go ahead.
Make sure we put this in the
for 24 hours, and agents would return the equipment. When leaving the shop that day, Agent Mike turned to me and said, in our experience, nothing ever happens to those that don't talk about these things. And at that time, I was just so happy that the laptop was leaving my shop, I didn't hardly notice the odd instructions.
Slow it down, Mike. Hey, Mike, stop, Mike. Mike, go back and slow it down. That's too fast. We can't really put it at 1.25, maybe. Because it's really important for us to be able to hear it. There we go. Go ahead. I'm sorry. So he's talking about Agent Mike. The FBI came to him. Agent Mike. Start it again, Mike, and so we can hear it. And listen to what Agent...
24 hours, and agents would return the equipment. When leaving the shop that day, Agent Mike turned to me and said, in our experience, nothing ever happens to those that don't talk about these things. And at that time, I was just so happy that the laptop was leaving my shop, I didn't hardly notice the odd instructions or the thinly veiled threat.
Shortly nothing after ever happened.
The laptop, I received a call from Agent Mike requesting assistance in accessing the drive. I assisted them by providing phone support until they were able to access the drive and its data. I thought that it was odd that they required my help, and I was starting to get uncomfortable, but I figured I had no choice but to cooperate with the FBI. About 2 weeks later, I got a call at the shop from Agent Mike seeing if anybody had been in about the laptop. I said no, and that was the last I heard from the FBI. By that time, I was started to reflect on my interactions, and I was getting the feeling that the FBI's agenda no longer included my safety. Why was this laptop not in a lab being professionally inspected? Why was it not admitted as evidence during an impeachment? I was getting the feeling that the FBI was holding on to it until the owner returned for it, and that they cared more about protecting it than they were in protecting me. And ultimately, I was, when it came to my safety, I was worse off than I was before. Towards the end of the summer of 2019, before my father reached out to the FBI, I did probably the smartest thing I've ever done in my entire life, and that was make a copy of the drive. I knew I had to get my story told, and I knew I had to find a voice to tell it. At this time, I was trying to have a business, and I was trying to have a life. I knew that I needed to study the material on the drive, and seeing on how there's no expectation of privacy when it comes to things you abandon, I chose a couple emails and files that I thought were topical and that would raise concern. Once again, I enlisted my father and later my uncle and armed them with the tools needed to go out and share my story.
I'm Colonel Steve MacIsaac, United States Air Force retired. I was basically out of the story until a few days
after his father.
The FBI had taken legal custody of the laptop. He did call me a few days later and said he thought it was strange that the FBI was calling him and asking him for technical support on the Mac laptop. I said, yes, that's very strange, because the FBI has one of the best forensic labs in the world, just outside Washington, D.C., and I had assumed wrongly that the day that they took custody of the laptop, they would be on an airplane and down there for a proper disposition. So once again, I thought that the FBI had turned their back on us and they were trying to solve it in-house or just find out what was on the computer locally. So then I decided the next best thing to do would be to go to Congress. There were two particular people I admired, one in the Senate and a young lad who was over on the Judicial Committee in the House of Representatives. I attempted to get through to both those offices, got the same thing. If you're not willing to talk to me, you can't talk to one of our lawyers. I said, you understand, I'm not supposed to talk to you. I can only talk to a lawyer. Sorry, have a great day. About this time, I upped the ante with my brother-in-law, Colonel Ron Chico Scott, to say, okay, we've got to do something. We're running out of time.
My name is Colonel Ronald J. Scott, Jr., United States Air Force retired after 34 years of service, to include my time at the Air Force Academy. J.P. MacIsaac is my nephew. J.P.'s father, Colonel Steve MacIsaac, reached out to me towards the end of 2019 to fill me in on the laptop and hard drive and their efforts to get the drive in proper hands once they discovered its contents. On May 8, 2020, I posted a message on the White House contact page indicating I had access to potential national security and criminal information and requested a referral to the Justice Department. No response. On May 13, 2020, I reached out to investigative journalist in response to an article he published regarding Blue Star strategies. No response. On May 18, 2020, I sent documentation via email and through the postal system. This consisted of a one-page summary of three documents on the hard drive and a copy of the redacted FBI subpoena. No response. On May 29, 2020, I sent a similar one-page summary and redacted subpoena via facsimile to Senator's office. No response.
I think it's a combination of a country that's so paranoid to be fed misinformation combined with other major world issues at the time that caused my cries for help to fall on deaf ears. I was running out of time and I was running out of options, and I had one last hope.
Okay, folks, so put that in the chat if you can, Mike, so people, I think maybe we had it posted online. Here's where I want to wrap this up. As much as none of us want to admit, I don't even know what this show's been about today. But as much as is possible, I'm trying to help you to understand that we are our only hope. The Lord, of course, but we are. It's not going to happen in Washington, D.C., it just isn't. That is just a big old good old boy system where everybody protects everybody else, as painful as that might be. Julian Assange, I think it was, one of those guys, I can't remember which one, said if the facts ever really come out, 75% of Washington, D.C. will go down. I think it was Assange that said it. Those facts aren't going to come out. They're probably not going to come out. So we're going to be faced with a decision. We're in the vortex of that decision probably right now. Is what is it that we as Christians do in this time of universal deceit? What do we do? What do we do when our elected officials don't represent us anymore? What do we do when our national investigative resources are a joke? What do we do when the stories that we have, the evidence that we have, the things that we know, what do we do when we have no one to present those facts to? And when we do present them to those facts to people, they're ignored. And I think that's where we are. And I was sitting around yesterday and just kind of vegetating a little bit, you know, just thinking about how easy it is. Mike Blake, I'm looking at you right now. How easy it would be for somebody to roll up in your house in a black SUV and accuse you of something. And you know what, Mike? You're cooked. You're cooked too, Jeff, now, Randy. Myra, you're cooked. There is no redress. Why? Courts are corrupt. Judges are corrupt. Money buys everything. There is no, the Lord saw that there was no justice. We wanted equal justice. Remember we started this a couple years ago about equal justice? I'm just going to tell you more and more and more. I'm convinced that this thing's going to come right back into our own laps and how it is that we're going to deal with it. I don't have a solution. I don't have an answer. But they can find DNA in a blown up downtown thing and can't find Hillary's emails. Are you kidding me? Huh? Are you kidding me? They can't find evidence on Joe Biden. Are you kidding me? They can't find evidence on stolen elections. Are you kidding me? Folks, the picture is as clear as it can possibly be. And this whole thing ultimately is going to fall back into our laps and what it is that the Lord would have us to do. And I just pray that would, that you'd get that set in your heart with the Lord, what it is. Because as Winston Churchill said, if we won't fight when we can win, we're certainly going to have to fight when we have no chance to win. And it looks like those days are rapidly approaching. Hey, I apologize a little bit all over the place today. It's your fault. You gave me an extra day off and got my mind full of stuff. And I dumped some of it on you today. Hey, sign up, DC registration, donations, all that kind of stuff. Help us get a good crew into Washington, D.C. The president's calling for it. So I think it's going to be different than just 4 more years. I think it's going to be a little bit different than what it's been last time. So, man, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.